Last week, we talked about, we talked about strategic, purposeful, random acts of kindness. Did we not?
Yes.
You see, I knew that. So strategic, purposeful, random acts of kindness. I would like you to know that Joe took that to a whole different level. And Joe is really into this whole thing. And she strategically and purposefully random act of kindness today. She knew exactly what she was doing when she made it. First question, here we go. Poll question for you today. So I want to show hands. Question is this: would you rather? Would you rather question? Would you rather receive a random act of kindness, or would you rather give a random act of kindness? So would you rather receive it, or would you rather give it? So,
yes.
How many people would rather give than receive? I'm not sure. Right? How many people are going to be honest and would say that they would rather receive? Right? All the pastors. Right. So the random act of kindness, when we think about this, and again, I'm going to go with Joe, and I'm going to encourage you to go out there and strategically and purposefully pull one of these off of the bulletin board. What I mean from that is that they are randomly up there, right? There's some beautiful colors on that board. And you can be strategic and purposeful. You can take your hand and kind of go over them all and try to grab out, pick the one. Even if you're hopping on a plane this week and going overseas, you can pick one of these. Right? Because it's probably likely you could do this on a plane or wherever you are. And we just want you to think differently. And that's one of the reasons for this poll question. Is that sometimes we have to change our thinking, right? That sometimes our thinking is more about receiving, right, than giving. That's why Christmas is different for different people, right? There are those who just love the whole idea of wrapping presents. They love the idea of giving to someone else, and they love the idea of letting somebody else open a present, right? And they sit there, and they're hovering over you as you're opening. You got that person in your mind, right? They're like, I can't wait to get this to you. And most of the time, they tell you what they got you before you open it, right? They're so excited about what you're getting. They give you 100 clues before you get it, and you're like, yep, I got an electric drink. Thank you. Very excited about that, right? You don't even have to open it. You leave it underneath the tree. And then there are other people who gift-giving is just a really hard thing, isn't it? They walk into a store, and they have no idea what to get people, right? Now, part of the reason is that they just don't think that way. Part of it is that we tend to not think about what other people like or would want. We think about what we would like to give them, right? That's a total difference in thinking. People who love to gift-give, they usually are thinking about other people. Oh, so-and-so, my wife does this great. She walks down the street, like, oh, so-and-so would like this. Or so-and-so would like that. Or, oh, this person would like this. Or this would be great for this person. It's just how they think. I walk into a store, and it's, what do I need to get? How quickly can I get to it? And what line is the shortest to get out of it? Right? There is no, this person would really like this. It's, I need to get this. Right? And so there's a difference in thinking, and I think as church people, that oftentimes we need to think, and last week we challenged ourselves to think strategically and purposeful. Right? So how many of you packed an extra sandwich this week to go to work? And how many of you put $5 in your pocket and God, it's going to be your $5, I'm going to give it where you would love to, right? Or how many of you put that half an hour aside and say, God, I'm going to give you half an hour of my time. Somebody's going to call me this week and say, can I do something? And I'm going to go, yep, when I normally would have said, no, right? But this idea that random acts of kindness can be strategic and purposeful in nature, I want to add to that this week. I want to add to it that they can also be, and a lot of times they are, sacrificial in nature. Right, the choice is I can either spend this $5 on me or I can spend it on me. I mean, those are my choices, usually. I mean, it's supposed to be I can spend it on me or I can spend it on spend it on you. Right? And how is it that sometimes we don't just give out of our excess, which is what we love to do in our culture? Right? We have extra, we love to give it. When my Tic Tacs are full, you will see me being very generous. Right? When my Tic Tacs are down to two or three, they stay in my pocket and nobody knows that I have them. Right? For them, there's two or three Tic Tacs. They don't make as much noise as a whole bunch. Right? But we look at things and we say, I can afford to give this away this week and I can afford not to give this away. But sometimes God says to us that real random acts of kindness, they may cost you something. Right? So why don't you turn with me to another story because we preached on it before, so we'll find out who's paid attention to me over the years and who hasn't. So we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Again, we're looking for sacrificial, random acts of kindness that are also strategically purposeful in nature. So this is a long thing. You thought random acts of kindness is a simple thing. It's not. It's more complex. Chapter 17, 1 Kings. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. Thankful that Lord and Lord speaks to us. No matter where we are today, no matter what's on our mind, no matter where our hearts are, Lord, your word speaks to us of the work that you want to do within us. So Lord, we pray that we allow you to do that. But we don't want to be people that are just influenced by your word. We want you to change our bodies, change our hearts, change our minds, change our thinking and the way that we act on those thoughts. So I want to start in chapter 17. And I want to start with verse 2. It says this: Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in Kereth Ravine, east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So if you go back to verse 1, you find out that it says there that as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next 2 years except at my word. So we know that Elijah, right, through the Lord, proclaimed that there isn't going to be any water. There's not any dew. There isn't going to be any moisture. There isn't going to be any rain until I say that there's going to be. Right? And that works out pretty well for him because God then says, hey, how about you say this to the people? Here's how this is going to work. And then he takes Elijah and he says, here's how I'm going to take care of you, though. Right? And it works out pretty well. So we get to verse 5. It says, so he did what the Lord told him, and he went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and he stayed there. That's nice when we do what God wants us to do. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So the deal here is that Elijah is being taken care of by God in a pretty miraculous way, right? But it's a good thing. But at some point, God says, hey, listen, here's the deal. I've been taking care of you. Now it's going to be up to others to take care of you through me. That's the way that it works in our life. You understand that, right? That there are times where God miraculously steps in and he provides for us and he takes care of us. Does he not? He does that which nobody else could do. He makes things happen that we think would be impossible to happen otherwise. God just intervenes, right? But more often than that, God works through what? The hands, feet, the hearts and minds of those around us. That's why it is imperatively important, unbelievably important, super important that we have a family. That we have a church family, that we pay attention to where we put ourselves. Why? Because more likely than not, God is going to work through those people in our life, is he not? That's why, as a church, we've said, listen, we understand that. And we want to focus on what is it that our people are doing, right? What is it that our individuals have been called to by God? Because that's probably going to provide something for us corporately, is it not? So I know that you're not looking for another thing to do on Sunday night. I also do know that there is nothing to do after the next couple weeks on Sunday night since football is done and everybody's bored. Right? But we know that Justin and Alyssa have been called to do something. They've been called to this area, to this church, to do something. We've been working on this for a very long time, since they forever, but they haven't been. Right? This idea of what is it that God wants them to do in this church? And so the concept is, hey, listen, we know that the truth of the matter is, whether you believe or not, we can never have enough church offerings in this church. If this church was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that would be a really cool thing. Because it would mean that our people are doing something for the Lord to take care of other people. If it's just open to be open, that's a bad thing. But if it's open because we want to give people the opportunity to connect in real relationship with Jesus, then that's a good place to be, is it not? And so we know that there's possibility that God is going to show up tonight. Why would we have godly people here? And so we should be anticipating and we should be excited about that. But the truth is that God's going to do that to the people. There could be a voice here tonight that you need to hear from. There's going to be a word of God, from God, that you probably need to hear. And that's good. That's what we want. And so there are times where God, he just takes care of us himself, and then there are times when he takes care of us through other people. Let me move on and get the actual my sermon. So this, in verse 7, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Don't you love it when God saves the obvious? He already told us that it wasn't going to rain until Elijah said. So the brook dried up. Why? Because there was no rain. Right? And so what happens? It says this, then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to that place. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and please bring me a piece of bread. Now, we've already talked about this, so let me make this really concise. Here's how this works. It's really cool. God says, hey, Elijah, go to this place, right? And I have directed a widow to take care of it. That's wonderful. Very strategic, very purposeful. Right? And so he goes to the city gates, and what's he do? Like all good men would do. He sees the first widow and says, hey, widow, you must be the one that God has to take care of me. So he gave her the instruction, bring me something to drink, and oh, by the way, bring me something to eat. Now, I love the fact that it all works out. But the point is, he takes what God tells him and just immediately applies it. Right? Do you and I do that? God gives us a bigger vision, gives us something, and then we just take that and just immediately apply it to what we want. But there's no waiting, there's no figuring out, there's no purpose strategic, it's just randomly this has to be the way that it is. This must be the person, because this is the way it worked out. It goes on and says this, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar, and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. So again, I talked to you about this before. The fact here is, apparently, the widow didn't get the message. So again, God says, I directed a widow. I'm directing a widow. She's going to take care of you, right? Elijah said, that must be the woman. But somehow the widow didn't get the message. Or she just didn't know she was going to be born. Or maybe directly means I've given this woman the resources to be able to do, or the home to be able to do. I just haven't told her that she's the one. Here's how that works. As you play this out in your head, sometimes you are the directed one. God just hasn't told you that the resources you have are for his direction. So sometimes you are that man. You are that woman, right? But sometimes God just hasn't given you all the details. He's given you the provision you need. The truth is, this woman had everything she needed to take care of herself. She just
had it in her mind what she was going to do, right?
So in her mind, it was this: I can't give you a piece of bread,
and because I'm really happy, we could do a whole sermon on that. How many times have we split hairs with God? I don't really have a piece of bread to give you.
But the truth is, she had the ability to make the bread. She just didn't have it made yet, right? She was going to go home and she was going to do that. But in her head, she had it all figured out. I can't give to you because I don't have anything to give to you.
But that wasn't exactly true. You see, sometimes it's about sacrificial giving, isn't it?
Sometimes it's in your head, you've rationalized why you don't have the $5 to give away. And you'll truthfully tell us it's not in your fault. Or you say, I don't have the time to do that. I don't have the ingredients to make that. I don't have the ability to do that. Whatever it is, and there's partial truth in it. But what you're missing is that sacrificial giving involves the Lord, doesn't it? It always involves God and you. God is saying, I'll take care of it. You just be obedient. And so this woman says, I don't have the ability to take care of you. Now notice in Elijah, and for his answer here, it says this in verse 13. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. Is that very encouraging? What did she say she was going to do? She said, I'm going to go make some food for my son and I can die. Yeah, go ahead, do it. But before you do it, right? Well, first, make a small loaf of bread for me, from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So check this out. I'm Elijah. Go ahead and do it. Yep. Go ahead with your plan. But first, do something for me first, and then let's see how it works out. So he gives her the option here. Did you get that? And he says to her, like, all right, go with your plan, but what about if you first make me something first, then make yourself something, and see if God supplies. She already said there's only enough for me and my son to make a small meal. There's enough for a better person. And so I just challenged her and saying, listen, why don't you, this person, see how this all works out? When's the last time that you implemented that thing? When's the last time that you have looked at a situation and said, I'm going to do this first, and then we'll see what's left over. We'll see if this works out. Elijah tells her, God, I'm going to take care of you. Can you imagine being this widow? You are literally walking out to make your last meal, right? And some guy shows up and says, I'm going to give your last meal to you. And then, oh, by the way, God is going to take care of you. And it will never run out. Imagine if somebody walked up and said, I need you to go to your bank account and give me $100. And you know that that's your last $100. And you say, I can't do that because I'm going to go pay my last little bit of rent, and then I'm going home to figure out what I'm going to do when I need to get back. And some guy shows up and says, okay, that's a good plan, but why don't you give me the $100 first? Then go home and then write a check for your rent for $100, because God has said it's never going to run dry. You're always going to have exactly what you need. Not what you want, exactly what you need. Imagine somebody showed up and said, can you buy it? Well, another poll question, how many people would do? And show again, how many of you would write that check? Right. The rest is an amazing church answer. All of a sudden, we have a bunch of people who are really honest. Can't wait to see the Facebook result of that, right? How many people would write the check? And in honesty, it's why we are where we are as churches, aren't we? It's because we understand that that's the way that God works. We hear the sermon, we read the scripture, but really putting it into practice is a tough thing. Because we're so conditioned to think that everything's a scam. Or that I have to be a good steward, and good steward is, I have to say no. The difference here is, this was directed by the Lord, right? The widow, directed the widow, giving her everything she needs to take care of. She just has to believe it. What if you are that answer for somebody? What if you're greater
act of kindness has been strategic and purposeful in God's lives, you just have to be willing to sacrifice. You just have to be willing to make that happen. Let's go on, it says this. Hopefully. In verse 15, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord spoke about to Elijah. Did you check that out? What did she do? She did it. She wrote the check. She went, she made the food. She believed that it was going to happen. Listen, lots of really, really, really great sermons by really, really great. Great God being actually spoken on the color of the Lord. He actually believes in it. Right? I told you, honestly, that I have a lot of problems where I really believe it, but all of you, it's really hard sometimes to believe it from me. Right? I had the exception. God loves you unconditionally. There will be all kinds of great things for you. But when you're in the middle of it, you're feeling it, sometimes you feel like you are the exception to that. Right? I believe it for everybody else. But I don't necessarily believe it for me. And this woman, she actually believed it. How do we know she believed it? She did. You see, most of us talk about belief, but we don't do it. The key is that Christianity, in most churches and in most of our lives, it influences us. We talk about it. We talk about what Christianity should look like. We talk about what Christianity should be about. But the bottom line is, it doesn't change us. We don't actually believe. So the truth is whatever you're asking the Lord for right now, whatever He's saying, He's going to miraculously provide for you if you actually believe it. Are your words followed by action? Or are you just talking? Verse 17 says this: sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? You come to remind me of my sin and kill my son." So check out how this changes on a dime. This woman just saw the power of God. Has she not been experiencing it? But what happens in an emotional moment, in a moment of extreme loss, what happens? It becomes Elijah's power. See, we know from the story that one random act of kindness didn't change her. It influenced her. Never really became her God. Whose God is it? Elijah's God. Right? Did you come here to punish me for my sin? That's her thought process. Now, immediately it goes to that. She's just seeing what was her original thing about God punishing her? Probably in her head. And then God provided, but it didn't change her. It just influenced her thing, her thinking. She was thankful. But it didn't change your thinking and then her heart. Notice this. It says this in verse 19. "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arm and carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and he laid him on the bed. And he cried out to the Lord. Right? "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he shut himself out on the Lord three times, cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." And then the Lord heard Elijah's cries. And the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house, gave him to his mother, and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "What? Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord, from your mouth is what? Truth. A declaration, right, of who God is. That is true. Your God. Listen, let me wrap this up and make it really practical. There are times when we do random acts of kindness, strategically and purposeful, because we expect some great things to happen. Right? We expect that if I just do this, if I just write this check to my kids, if I do one more thing for my kids or for my family members or my friends, then that's going to change their life. Right? They're going to get it finally. If I just bail somebody out of jail one more time, if I bail them out of their problem one more time, then what's going to happen? They're going to get it. And the aha moment and the hallelujah choir are going to happen simultaneously.
When we think that way, that's why we do random acts of kindness, because we're hoping that if we just do one more good thing for somebody, they'll change. If I say one more nice word to my husband, to my wife, and again, they'll change. Right? If I just treat them the way that they're supposed to be treated this one last time, but if they don't, well, then it's going to be a problem, right? And the truth of the matter is that random acts of kindness can't be done that way. It can't be done with some kind of an agenda that we're having. Right? They're done because they're part of God's process. They're part of the plan. They're little bits and pieces that get you somewhere. I was talking to my friend Lee Altman yesterday, and I said, I feel like I'm on the trail of something, but it's not even crumbs. It's not just a little crumb. Right? It's little tiny pieces of gravel, whatever those are, you know, those little flakes. And you're following me. You sure hope it someday turns into a crumb. Right? That's where you are. You're that far in the beginning. You hope that if I just start something, if I just say one nice word to somebody, that somehow it will turn into a crumb, and then that crumb will turn into something else. But you're not finding yourself in the ground. It will turn into something bigger. But the reality is, we don't know where we are on this plane. We don't know who else is teaming up with us. We don't know how they're teaming up. We don't know the interactions that are around us. All we know is our little part, and we play that strategically. But also the truth is that most of us are only willing to sacrifice if we think we know the outcome that we want. I can only sacrifice for my son if I'm sure that he's going to be out. I'll sacrifice for my wife if I'm sure that she's going to treat me the way they did. Right? I'll sacrifice for this church as long as I know that he'll love me for the rest of my life. Is that sacrificial? Yeah, you can bring gossip, because the truth is, you may sacrifice somebody and they can blow them up. And then something else may happen in their life and they can turn their back on the God that you're trying to prevent. You have to be really right for that up here. Because otherwise what happens is we turn the spin it off. Don't we? We're not giving one more thing to this family. We're not giving one more thing to this person. We're not going one more step for this. You have no idea how close you are to finding the crumb. You don't know where you are in the process. So sacrificialness comes from us. But here's the end result. The end result is this: at some point, hopefully somebody is going to make a declaration that God is what? True. That who he says he is real. And that we've played a role in that whole thing. So we're hoping that random acts of kindness lead to somebody declaring there is no other God but their God. There is no God but their God. I see it in you. I see it in what you're doing. I hope you caught what Joe said that there is you. Right? I want you to point the picture that with you. Whatever store she was at, right? Something falls off the cart. Right? So in my world, it would be a bag of dog food or rabbit food or something like that. If you were to be my so, all right, so now, so this whole changes my options. So apparently, my Rice Krispie treats, my Rice Krispies fell on the ground, right? Sacrificially, they're laying there on the ground. I want you to picture, not my response, but mine is totally changed. I want you to picture Joe's response, which is what? John, why didn't you pack those letters? Right? Why didn't you pack that? Why did you put that there? Why did the person pack it like that? Why did they double back? Do you know who those are? Do you know whose Rice Krispies those are for? Like, do you know? Why, they're on the ground. You imagine that while they're soaking up the snow water and everything right there, it's just being really wondering about it. But while they're doing that, John and Joe could be having this whole discussion. But what happened? At just the right moment, some guy does what? Stands there and joins the discussion? But it is your fault, John. It's definitely your fault. But you should just know. Right? Or like, hey, you should have figured out, hey, that person got better back. Right? Did they do that, or did they stop and ask for permission? Hello, would you like me to pick this up while you're arguing? Would you like me to do something for you? Is there something I can do? Do you think that person stood there and thought about the legal liability of picking up that box of Rice Krispies? What happens if I share my
I get hurt or because of the power runs me over. But if I pick it up and Joe and John start yelling at me for picking up their extra space. Right? Now, what's the guy do? Just does it. Right? He swoops in and he saves Andy. He swoops in and he saves the day. Do you think this guy felt that awkward? No. Did you think he was going to make it out of Lakeview Community Church's Facebook site this week? No. He's nameless. He didn't think about anything. He just did it. That's what random acts of kindness is about. It's about looking at a situation and saying, is this something that God would have me do? I pray for Bruce and Kim because whenever you're on a plane ride and I have very little to one experience about this, right? The one experience I did have was mine mental, and we had Cynthia's a little baby and he was screaming the entire time, and all everybody in the plane wanted him to be shot. His mom. However, that could possibly happen. Just deal with it, right? If you look at that, you look at that and say, look how people are running to look the way they want to do. Someone in an absolute frantic state, burning around, worried about the same. Some of them concerned more about what they're needing than what they're going through. Some concerned more about what they're going through than what they're needing. Right? Some excited, sometimes you get to enter in the world. Listen, I do not, and in full disclosure, today is my very first day of doing the music class. It's a very sad day. Right? I have not picked on full music workers because I have something that's full music workers for me. I just see the opportunity. I don't see what they have opportunity to do with other people and make a difference later in the day. But how do you interact with people? Is a random act of kindness Christ. And sometimes it means sacrificing whatever you're thinking about, sacrificing wherever you've been, sacrificing your resources, your preferences, sacrificing everything. Which is that's why we need Jesus. So listen, there's an entire bulletin board almost out there of random acts of kindness things. Again, we're not saying that we have all of the random acts of kindness out there, but those are the only ones you can create. But what we're saying is, listen, it's kind of fun to take one of those and hear a trepidation over it and wonder what it's going to say. Right? Mine this morning says, give a friend a cat. They rob. That's not in my norm, really. Right? That's not necessarily what I did on a regular basis. So I look forward this week to seeing how that can play out. But what are the opportunities that are going to come up? Well, here's the truth. We're going to have to kind of just have to deal with God. The sacrificial is strategically important. It should be done. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you challenge us to be not just givers of the word, but doers. And so, Lord, we pray that as individuals, we do that. And the corporate community comes together and support each other. Amen. That Lord, we be true.